Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
And by the grace of God, it is finally Friday. We have so much to get to, including an attempted assassin gets out with no bail in New York. Yep, that's what we're dealing with. But I do have a little bit of news. Apparently, Joe Biden, who is now sequestration, I guess, or, whatever. They got him keeping away from everybody except for photographers taking pictures of him. But he's got COVID. Apparently, we just got this in. He was self-diagnosed. He knew that he was in trouble because he was at an event, and there was a little girl in front of him. He bent over to smell her hair, and he went like this, and he turned to the Secret Service. He says, "I got nothing. I can't smell anything here. There's something wrong. I might have COVID."
Seems Sleepy Joe. Seems that he's got corona.
This is
everything we've been told's in doubt.
Jim Gossett
said you were safe.
Da da da.
Cause you were vaccinated.
Twice.
Hey Joe, how did those shots work out?
And two boosters.
Hands. You wash your hands. You wore a mask. And what good did it do?
Everybody sing along. Da, da.
Joe could not keep it away.
So good. So, oh no, never mind.
He got four shots.
Ba ba ba.
But he has it anyway. COVID 19.
There you go. So, Joe's got he got COVID, and he's still pushing the vaccine on you. And I learned something last night. I guess it should have been fairly obvious to all of us, because this is how vaccines work. But the Democrats, they decided after the vaccine wasn't keeping people from getting sick, and that actually unvaccinated people had a better chance of recovering from it. Than those who were vaccinated, especially after a couple, and they didn't tell us all this. And another thing is, vaccines cannot make symptoms lesser if you get the virus that you're vaccinated against. That's a fallacy. So all of this nonsense about, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, I realize, of course, you can still get COVID if you get the vaccine, but the symptoms will be far less severe. That's a lie. That's been a lie from the get-go. It's been a lie about everything. For instance, when I was a kid, I got the smallpox vaccine. I think I got the polio vaccine. And polio's making a comeback, I guess. I don't know if you knew that. There's a case of polio. But anyway, nobody ever says, oh, no, you're just going to get a much less severe version of polio. You'll only be paralyzed from the knees down, I guess. You know, it's only just a slight bit of smallpox, you know. You'll only have it about from the shoulders up, you know, all over your face and everything. So that's what they're saying. And honestly, it's nonsense. And I got to tell you, I did get COVID. I was sick, didn't like it. It was really bad. Absolutely 100%. But I never felt I was going to die. And I didn't take the vaccine for a variety of different reasons. But it's funny that this president has been vaccinated twice, boosted twice, still got COVID, and they still want to kick out tens of thousands of people out of our military for not getting the vaccine. So I'm just going to go ahead and say no. I'm going to say no. No, 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 no. And a lot of people have been pitching fit about it, you know, and a lot of people have been, they ripped on Donald Trump, of course, when he got the COVID, and he said, don't worry about the COVID. It's not that big a deal. If you just take care of yourself, obviously you got to concern yourself with being, if you've got a pre-existing condition, you got a comorbidity, including AIDS, you want to, you know, get medicine, find out all you can about it and everything. And the media went absolutely bananas. And I'm going to get to all of that. As the show progresses, we got some things happening in New York State with Lee Zeldin, candidate for governor. And I got to tell you, this is pretty remarkable that you've got people rotting in a January the 6th prison. There was no insurrection, according to the FBI. The FBI has said there was no insurrection. There were no guns founded the protest. There are no guns brought into the Capitol. But you've got dozens and dozens of people who have been subject to beatings, had their toiletries, their clean water, their prayer, all of those things, restricted visitations, no bail, and also kept with their trials moving to later dates. So a year and a half, some of these people in a solitary confinement, gets on stage, a 43-year-old guy gets on stage. His name is David Jacobonis, and he gets on stage. Lee Zeldin is speaking before a group of veterans, and he has a little blade. It's like a brass knuckles. It is like, I guess, you know, you talk about, you know, a prison shiv. I've never been in prison. I've never made a shiv either. But if you could take and you can, I don't know, take a bone from a chicken and you can wrap it with some tape and a wood handle, you can kill somebody with it. This appears to be a machine or something that he had that was made to injure. It was a little brass knuckles kind of in the shape of a cat, I guess. That sounds like a Democrat, you know, probably be a big cat fan. But guy gets on stage, takes a swing. Zeldin pushes him away before he can slash his neck, by the way. And the guy's out on no bail the next day. No bail the very next day. Now, if there is not a better example of a two-tiered justice system in the world right now, I don't know what the hell is. There is fury after a military vet who tried to stab New York governor candidate Lee Zeldin with Made in USA blade. Well, at least he chose Made in America. Is released under the state's lax bail reform laws hours after being arrested, just as Zeldin predicted. Zeldin said, "Oh yeah, you know, surely they're going to let this guy out." I mean, and he joked about it. He was able to go ahead and keep doing the appearance after he got attacked. And he said, you know, hey, guess what? I'll bet you this guy is out. And I think he was kind of half serious. Don't you think he might have been half serious about this? But he got out. Here's a little audio from the attack, him talking on stage, and this guy getting up on stage and attempting to kill by slashing the throat of Lee Zeldin.
And this is our last stand for New York. And there's only one option.
Now he got up on stage and he said, okay, you're done. You're done. Marine Corps veteran Joe Shenley actually stopped the attempted assassination. Now, if you may recall, a guy who attempted to assassinate Dave Chappelle in a very similar fashion that resulted in no injuries, he's still in jail. He's facing attempted murder charges. You may recall that the Attorney General for the state of New York put a bodega owner in jail for 7 days on Rikers Island with a murder charge when he tried to defend himself at the bodega, and he stabbed to death the thug who tried to brutalize him. I got to tell you guys, I don't care where you stand politically, but if you're cheering on this, you think this is great, you're sick. You're really sick. And by the way, Kathy Hochul sent out press releases urging her supporters to RSVP to this gathering. While Zeldin spoke at a campaign event in Fairport, New York, a man rushed the stage, tried to stab him. Hochul's campaign sent out a press release hours before the attack on Zeldin that blasted out the time and location of several of Zeldin campaign's upcoming stops. She claimed that Zeldin and his team would spread dangerous lies, misinformation, and his far-right agenda at those campaign events. All a lie. They call him Big Lie Lee, and his entourage of extremists kick off the statewide MAGA Republican bus tour, which will take stops across the state peddling dangerous lies, misinformation, and his far-right agenda. The New York governor also claimed that Zeldin will be joined by top anti-abortion advocates, NRA enthusiasts, and a cast of extremist groups. But you couldn't expect somebody to maybe, I don't know, go after and try to kill the guy trying to do all this, right? The New York governor also claimed that Zeldin will be joined by Trump. RSVP to hear about Zeldin's election integrity task force and his recent election fraud scandal, in which his campaign photocopied over 11,000 duplicate petition signatures. Bullcrap. You sent your supporters after him, and they came. This, according to a Republican spokesperson. Andy Ngo also said it's the same language and dog whistle used by Antifa militants to urge comrades to injure or kill targets. And he's 100% right. And after the incident, he was taken to jail, and he was released without bond. And he was charged with second-degree attempted assault, which is a felony, but not attempted murder, which the guy who tried to kill Dave Chappelle was charged with. Yeah. This is the country we live in today. This is the country that we live in today. And next time, we may not be so lucky. Right? We've seen protesters out in front of conservative Supreme Court justices. Guys, a month ago, somebody tried to kill a Supreme Court justice. He came from California to murder Justice Kavanaugh and his family. And the left is still out in front of his house doing this. And the left is still fomenting rage around the country. And then yesterday, a candidate for governor, conservative, in the state of New York, had a guy rush the stage just like Dave Chappelle with an object that could kill him. Except for in this case, because he was attacking a Republican conservative in New York, no bond. I really think the left, and something I haven't mentioned, I think that the left, knowing how they are, and knowing that they don't care, and knowing that they want to foment rage and violence, I would not put it past them as the only way to make a vacancy on the Supreme Court is to foment rage against the Supreme Court in hopes that somebody gets assassinated. I'm not kidding. Otherwise, we would have Liz Warren saying, oh yeah, you should not be protesting. We definitely are not down with violence when it comes to Supreme Court justices. You've got to stay away from their homes. I absolutely believe this. If you've got a Democrat Party who's not there to fix a baby formula shortage, if you've got a Democrat Party there who has caused a crisis in the country, an economic crisis that is causing people to go hungry, people to lose their homes and lose their cars, do you suppose that they might be saying, huh, there's no other way to get a Supreme Court vacancy because everybody's pretty healthy, but fingers crossed. Unbelievable. I've got more on this, a little bit more on the president's COVID. He's got COVID, by the way. I said he Alzheimer's because he said he had cancer after he said he had asthma. And then, he's got a broken brain. We'll get to all of that. Your phone calls as well, 800-922-6680. My friends, this is a Friday edition of The Rob Carson Show.
If you're looking for a woke take on current events, just go back to sleep, because you're not getting it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
So I'm seeing a trend here, guys. Let's see. Justice Kavanaugh, attempted murder. Rand Paul, guy dove on him, broke several ribs. Steve Scalise was attacked and shot and nearly killed by a guy named James Hodgkinson. I have heard that there was a possibility that they were going to let that guy go too, but he was dead. Yeah, they shot him because, he tried to kill Steve Scalise with a gun. And by the way, he was a Bernie Sanders supporter. So this, and now you've got somebody going after Lee Zeldin at a campaign stop. And it's you have to take these things more seriously. Now, even if this were, say, for instance, in, let's say in Des Moines, and there's a guy walking down the street in Des Moines, another guy in Des Moines has a pair of brass knuckles with sharpened tips on the end there, presumably to slash your throat, goes for you, guy doesn't know you, you're able to be tackled, and they take the guy to jail. Generally, that person's going to be charged with certainly at least first-degree assault and possibly attempted murder. And this shows you how unserious that the Democrats are, particularly the Attorney General of the state of New York. This is an attempt at assassination of a political candidate. All right, this is like Bobby Kennedy, but he wasn't successful, and it wasn't a gun. And yet this guy gets out. I don't care who you are, you cannot be down with this. And then Kathy Hochul, I was reading some things about Kathy Hochul. She's a COVID dictator. And she, by the way, is probably going to let support masks in schools in the fall. Even though kids have suffered unimaginably, she's going to reserve the right to exercise all those sorts of control before the election in the fall with regard to COVID.
That we don't currently, based on today's numbers, anticipate the need for masks in classrooms, but I'm going to reserve the right to return to this policy if the numbers
change. Because the Democrats need fear.
Change, the circumstances change.
If global warming doesn't do it with this heat wave. And by the way, in North Dakota, it was 121 degrees. I will give you the details coming up.
And the severity of the illness has changed. So God forbid there is a variant that affects kids more severely. You know, we've seen a lot through this.
God forbid, but Satan cheers on.
Crisis. I feel like we've seen everything, but maybe we haven't.
It's kind of weird. You know, a company owned by a family which has donated $300,000 to the reelection campaign for Kathy Hochul has been paid. Are you ready for this? This is the kind of money that, can you even imagine your company getting $637 million by the state over 8 months to make home COVID tests without a contract? No contract, just awarded a no contract bid. No bid. They just got the contract. $637 million. And the company is owned by a family that gave Kathy Hochul's campaign $300,000. Other than that, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here all. Yeah, nothing to see here at all. And Joe Biden has tested positive for COVID, and there's a great deal of COVID hypocrisy. For instance, here is Joe Biden on the campaign trail. He doesn't remember this appearance, but here he is talking about Donald Trump and his irresponsibility with regard to COVID.
You deserve a president who understands what you're going through.
This is a public appearance where he's outside standing in front of a podium with the mask down below his nose.
Who sees you where you are and where you want to be. The last thing you need is a president who ignores you, looks down upon you, who just doesn't understand who in God's name we are.
Okay, again, that's just a lie.
That's President Trump. His reckless personal conduct.
I forgot how bad his campaign was.
Conduct since his diagnosis. The destabilizing effect it's having on our government.
Now, Joe Biden yesterday was featured in the Oval Office working without a mask on. And then this morning, he was back in the Oval Office, and he had a mask on.
He's unconscionable.
And you're just unconscious.
He didn't take the necessary precautions to protect himself or others.
Whoa, wait. You didn't wear a mask when you went to Saudi Arabia. You fist bumped with a dictator.
And the longer Donald Trump is president, the more reckless he gets.
Yeah, and also you might
How can we trust him to protect this country?
Well, he certainly can't protect you because there are all sorts of people on the plane with you yesterday that you may have exposed, including Senators Ed Markey, Elizabeth Warren, by the way, she was on the plane, John Kerry. Our climate czar was on there. Climate advisor Gina McCarthy was on there as well. Oh, and the president is being treated with Paxlovid. That is a what they call generally a prophylaxis, which was put off and put off and put off while there were some medicines available as a prophylaxis. But Paxlovid, they waited on Paxlovid because it's going to make some people who make Paxlovid a lot of money. Some of the other prophylaxis, like hydroxychloroquine, they don't make anybody any money. So they waited until Paxlovid could be approved, and they're pushing Paxlovid and making the manufacturers, I believe it's Merck, Paxlovid, very, very wealthy. Very, very wealthy. Here is Yamiche Alcindor. She was on, I believe, MSNBC yesterday, talking about Joe Biden and COVID and blaming Donald Trump for his irresponsible behavior. I'll share that with you in just a second. A little bit more on this, then we're going to move into the heat wave. And did you realize it was 121 degrees in North Dakota? I'll have the details on that coming up. It's a Friday edition of the Rob Carson Show.
Somebody call a plumber. It's time to drain the swamp. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Yesterday, I reported that there is speculation that COVID is sexually transmitted. And the reason being is that Joe Biden went to Saudi Arabia and got screwed over by the crown prince, came back and tested positive. Now we have news this morning that Joe Biden doesn't have it. So, again, that would say that I believe COVID is sexually transmitted because, you know, I mean, really, Joe. Yeah. So, anyway, also, I want to mention this. Monkeypox is apparently, you know, kind of a deal in New York City and Washington, D.C. And listen to this. Just listen to this. And I'm not, I'm just going to tell you what's going on. 95% of monkeypox cases are transmitted through sexual activity. Did you know that? According to a study, 98% of infected people were gay or bisexual men. 41% had HIV, and the median age was 38. Can gay guys not get a break? I mean, really. 95% of monkeypox cases have been transmitted through sexual activity, according to the largest study to date, which also noted new clinical signs such as single genital lesions. Sorry if you were eating there. You know, maybe you're having a bagel. Led by a scientist of Queen Mary University of London, the new paper looked at 528 confirmed infections in 16 countries between April 28th and June 24th. It is important to stress that monkeypox is not a sexually transmitted infection in the traditional sense. It can be acquired through any kind of close physical contact. But people who've had it, by the way, 98% of infected people were gay or bisexual men. 41% had HIV. I said median age was 38. Their median number of sex partners in the previous 3 months was 5. And around a third were known to have visited sex on site venues such as sex parties or saunas within the previous month. So I have nothing against gay guys, you know, whatever. I'm just glad that we kind of are getting an idea where it's coming from. And, you know, did anybody see Dallas Buyers Club? You know? Fortunately, it is not a lethal virus. But they're going to try and push, I guess they're trying to push vaccines. Not a lot of people have it. But it sounds like entirely preventable if you're careful. That's all I had to say about it. I thought it was very interesting. It had some similar, because I lived through the 80s. I was in high school, I guess, right at the beginning. No, I was in junior high when AIDS popped around and we saw people die. I had friends die of it, you know, and Freddie Mercury, Freddie Mercury, Magic Johnson, he got HIV and he's still alive today. There are some eerie similarities. Fortunately, it is not lethal. So Joe Biden is tested positive for COVID. He waited, he hasn't had it yet, but he's been vaccinated twice. He's been boosted twice, which means that the vaccine will not prevent you from getting COVID. He's saying he has mild symptoms, but, and I should have known this, I saw a medical expert last night on Newsmax, and he said, there is no way that a vaccine makes symptoms less severe. It's not possible. It's not the way it works. And then I realized what a gigantic tool that has been used against the American people when they found out that the vaccine doesn't prevent you from getting the virus. So the only thing they could cling to was that you have to get the vaccine because otherwise the symptoms are really bad and you're going to die. And it was all nonsense. And you're being played. And Joe Biden ordered 105 million doses for the fall because, you know, the fall is when elections happen. And his COVID czar saying, yeah, we might have to do masks again. And in some municipalities around the country, like in Sacramento, they're going to start making kids wear masks again. And in New York, Kathy Hochul saying she's reserving the right to make kids wear masks again and do shutdowns again. Because the election's coming up, you see. Honestly. And then yesterday, as the president of the United States goes maskless, even though he has a comorbidity being some heart issues, irregular heartbeat, and the fact that he's almost 80 years old, and he goes over there and doesn't wear a mask anywhere, glad hands with everybody, rides in a plane with Elizabeth Warren, rides in a plane with John Kerry. I don't think anybody got monkeypox. You never know. But anyway, all of that, completely careless, comes back to our country test positive for COVID, and then is seen in the Oval Office working hard for the American people in the 3 seconds that he was awake without a mask on. And here's Yamiche Alcindor, who used to work, or maybe still does work, for PBS, blaming on Trump.
The last thing you need is a president who ignores...
Oh, this is Joe Biden talking about Donald Trump being irresponsible.
You, looks down upon you, who just doesn't understand who in God's name we are. That's President Trump. His reckless personal conduct since his diagnosis.
Okay, so I would say that everything that Joe Biden did in the 24 hours preceding his diagnosis was much more reckless than Donald Trump ever believed in. Here's Yamiche Alcindor.
Latest approval numbers are out. They're pretty low. He's at 31% in one of the polls that
this is the anchor on MSNBC.
Saw just this morning, right? And who he came in contact with during these travels. Just the other day, we're looking at the governor of Rhode Island, the mayor of Warwick, Rhode Island, upon his visit there, Senator Markey, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Representative Bill Keating. I mean, these are a lot of folks that he's been coming into contact with over the last couple of days, and that's why...
And again, he knew he had it. When he sniffed a little girl's hair, he turned to the Secret Service and said, I got nothing.
It's not necessarily surprising, his diagnosis, but then you got a lot of folks that are likely worried about what this means for them going forward because, of course, of the implications of long COVID.
And And they're saying that long COVID could be used as an excuse for him not running again in 2024 or, not making it to 2024 as a candidate, but leaving the office.
Yeah. And think about the fact that now we have two U.S. presidents in a row that have tested positive
right.
with COVID.
Yeah, and Donald Trump kicked its ass.
And I think what we're going to see here is likely a different sort of approach to it. Let's remember his predecessor took off his mask, even though it was sort of in the period where...
Again, Joe Biden went overseas, went to several countries, including Israel and Saudi Arabia, didn't bother to wear a mask.
He could have possibly infected other people. He didn't want to talk about getting vaccinated at the White House. President Biden, I suspect just in talking to White House officials yeah. is going to remind people, yes, I could get it, which means you can get it, which means we all have to be vigilant about this.
And also, so what's the point of the vaccine then?
So, of course, this diagnosis really does mean that he's going to have to really quarantine himself and stay away from people.
Please do. We love it when you have days off.
While he was under pressure to be out on the campaign trail, to be out in the world.
He was under pressure? Nobody wants him to go out. He went to Massachusetts without a mask on the other day, by the way. Fortunately, nobody showed up to see him.
To show that he was doing something, yeah. because he has Democrats in particular who are saying there are all these sort of fires out there, abortion politics, all of these different things.
Why are you distracting? She's distracting. She went back to Donald Trump, then she distracted.
Happening. And voters in particular during a midterm season, they need to see you out in the world. They need to make sure that they feel like you're connected. And
well, he's already failed on those fronts.
Feeling their pain.
And then, oh, he's feeling their pain.
Not going to be able to do that. But of course, I think most people are going to say this is a time period where he needs to rest, where he needs to sort of.
Yeah, please. In fact, I think he should rest, for the next couple of years. Just take some time off. Go get a Walmart vest on and just greet people. Here's a Ketanji. No, it's not Ketanji Brown Jackson. They have KJB and KBJ. Ketanji Brown Jackson is the woman on the Supreme Court who doesn't know what a woman is. Ketanji Jackson. Corinne Jean-Pierre. Yes, Corinne Jean-Pierre. She doesn't know how Joe Biden got it, and that doesn't matter.
Where exactly was the president infected?
Where was he infected? I don't think we know. I certainly don't know if you have any...
That doesn't sound very responsible.
I don't think that matters.
Oh, no. It all mattered when Donald Trump had it.
Right. I think what matters is we prepared for this moment. I think what matters is what Dr. Jha just laid out. If we look at where
I'm not so sure you prepared for this moment because you're handling it really badly.
We're a year and a half ago. This is a president, when he walked in, one of his first priorities was to make sure we had a comprehensive plan to get people vaccinated.
Well, no, actually, Donald Trump had a comprehensive plan and they developed two vaccinations and there were, 400,000 people supposedly who died of COVID. They died with it. They didn't die because of it. Some did, but not all that, because the numbers were inflated. If you don't believe me, ask Deborah Birx. And the former CDC director as well. Both of them said, yeah, inflated just in time for the election. And then, of course, Joe Biden's the president, and 600,000 to 700,000 supposedly have all died because of COVID. So who handled it better? Who was more prepared, by the way? Here is, The media, of course, again, this is the media. Previously, this is the media talking about Trump's irresponsibility.
President Trump wrote on Twitter, "Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life." Almost 210,000 Americans are dead.
Speaking of outrageous, this outrageous tweet.
Oh, my goodness, Nicole. When I saw that Trump, I mean, I literally...
I do believe the French call this the standard doublé.
...was overwhelmed.
And now we see this tweet, which is heartless. It is cruel.
Jake, this is so disrespectful. I'm not even sure I can speak about this.
This guy literally, Joe Biden goes out on the campaign trail. He goes to Massachusetts after going to Israel and the Saudi Arabia. No mask at all. Nothing. Comes back. Tests positive. Shoots the vaccine theory in the foot. And the media says nothing.
It's incredibly, incredibly disrespectful. What does that mean, don't be afraid of it? I mean, first of all, it's a contagious disease that kills people. There's nowhere to even begin.
It's now they're acting like, oh, it's not dangerous at all. COVID is suddenly, listen to this, COVID suddenly is no longer deadly. Did you notice that? When Joe Biden gets it and is irresponsible in his behavior and not wearing a mask, nobody can die from it. Isn't that amazing?
Gross.
It was a death sentence last year.
Such a distressing moment.
It's just so horrible, so destructive to say I feel better than I have in 20 years.
That he's saying this is...
Yeah, he did, because he's physically very strong.
So disrespectful.
Unlike the current president.
The president says it's no big deal. I mean, it's outrageous.
It is insulting.
And now the media is saying it's no big deal. It's really breathtaking. It is really, really breathtaking. Now, coming up, I got some bad news for Joe Biden on the approval rating front. Also, I'm going to next tell you about North Dakota reaching a high of 121 degrees in an epic heat wave like the country has never seen before. Here's the number if you want to call in, 800-922-6680. Randall, you'll be up first. You are listening to a Friday edition of the Rob Carson Show. It is a Friday edition of the Rob Carson Show. I live in the Midwest. We have 103 degrees being forecasted for tomorrow. And oddly enough, I grew up in the Midwest, and it's been 103 degrees before. And there have been heat waves before. I thought you should know. It's not the end of the world as we know it, as REM would say. It just happens. Yeah, yeah. Let's go to Randall in Pacific Grove, California, the home of KSCO, our glorious affiliate there. Hello, my friend. Welcome to the show, and happy Friday to ya.
Thank you. Yeah. Let's go, Brandon.
Yes, big time.
I wanted to comment on the monkeypox thing. So
yes,
the reason the media is totally silent about it, and if I raise it on a talk show, I get cut off because they just don't want to talk about this situation because it is almost 100% gay men or bisexual men,
sure,
which I noticed right away because I look for those things. Uh-huh. And they don't want to talk about it because these people, it's not even just like any gay man or bisexual man. It's super spreader events.
Yes.
And the fact that nobody wants me to talk about it is really, really dangerous because I remember the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah.
And I was in a relationship with a female at the time when it started, but it took a year for it to reach the news. But see, the people who were getting it initially, like Harvey Milk, who left New York with his boyfriend and went to San Francisco's Castro District to campaign, and it's tragic. May he rest in peace.
Of course.
You know, that he was assassinated. But I wanted to say that they kind of were ignoring the super spreader effect aspect of it. And it was met with a lot of repression and
hostility. A lot of resistance. I remember this too, Randall. I remember this. I was, in middle school and high school, and I remember that there were a lot of men in San Francisco very upset that the bathhouses would be shut down. And these are places where gay men go to have sex. And I don't want to make this about gay stuff. I don't care. I don't care. If you want to go and have anonymous sex with somebody somewhere, I don't care, gay, straight, or other. It's your business, and you are going to have to deal with the consequences. You're going to have to deal with the consequences. But honestly, you cannot say, and I'm not, it doesn't appear that monkeypox is as serious, certainly, as AIDS, because AIDS killed a whole hell of a lot of people. And I know a bunch of people who died of it in the early 80s, by the way. And I'm a straight male, by the way. But I had gay friends, a couple of them died of this. But if you can't say that, hey, guys, just want you to know, 98% of the people infected in this country with monkeypox were gay or bisexual. 41% had HIV. Median age was 38. Median number of sex partners in the last 3 months was 5. And around a third were known to have visited sex on site venues, such as sex parties or saunas within the previous month. You might want to know that just in case you decide to have, I don't know, 5 sex partners anonymously in 3 months. And my aunt might also add, there's some worse stuff that you can get the monkeypox, like herpes for life.
Well, so, they are not educating young men on how to be cautious, how to look for danger in partners. They're not teaching kids in school these things. They're not teaching them about VD like when I was in school.
Yeah.
Are you aware that they've shown a lot of pictures of children in the Congo who have it, all male, very small male children, and we all know what happens to little boys in those areas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And the thing that's very dangerous about it, though, is that nobody's practicing any discretion, just like I think when AIDS broke out, the gays were terrified.
Yes.
But for them to be engaging in these collectives as if, you know, that's very dangerous. And
yeah,
I wanted to say something. Didn't
Real quick, Biden Randall, go ahead. Also, I don't want to spend all day on monkeypox.
Joe Biden also go spread COVID
he did.
With no mask in Israel?
Oh, yes. And Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia. Thanks for the call, Randall. Do appreciate it. Yeah, and I think a lot of gay men, perhaps, and now that they have it as a manageable disease, as HIV is more of a manageable disease, usually doesn't blossom into AIDS, that, you know, with that goes a certain degree of, you know what, there are worse things in the world. If I get a little whatever, at least I can have sex with whoever I want to. I'm just saying, be careful. I don't give a crap if you're gay or straight. I just wanted you to know that. Wanted you to know that, by the way. Oh, by the way. There's a heat wave.
Well, thank you, Roosevelt. What's the weather like out there? It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot. Hot as this.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck.
Is this a montage?
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
See, there were heat waves before now, and it was hot in the summer before now.
I said,
so here's the deal, guys. Temperatures as high as 121 degrees in North Dakota, hotter than Death Valley. They could cook a rare steak on the street. People in Nebraska and New York sleeping outside because it was so hot. They only had fans. And it all happened in 1936. Yeah. 1936, more deadly and hotter than now, and they didn't have SUVs. I know it's kind of weird. Stop deflating the tires, leftist activists. Hottest temperature ever recorded, by the way, in the United States, 134 degrees in Death Valley on July 1913. Yet the president of the United States wants to sign an executive order because we got a little heat streak in the summer of 2022. I thought you should know. Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show. It is Friday, baby, and we got hour number two of the show coming up. Dave Chappelle gets the laugh in Minneapolis, and Bill Burr, one of my favorite comedians of all time, he paints a target on himself because of abortion. I know, crazy. Also, Sam Sorbo. She is the spouse of Kevin Sorbo. Also wrote a book called Words for Warriors about all of the nonsense in schools. Our kids are under attack. We'll talk to her at the bottom of next hour. And your phone calls, 800-922-6680. Again, hour number two of the Rob Carson Show, Friday edition, right ahead. Don't go anywhere. Hey guys, it's Carson. These trying times have caused Americans to consider a firearm or to add to their collection. Check out European American Armory Corporation. They specialize in providing high-quality, innovative, and reasonably priced firearms to the U.S. market since 1990. Whether you're looking for concealed carry or full-sized in three popular calibers, they have them. Now, if you are a first-time gun owner, you might consider the EAA all-in-one 9mm MC9s strike fire pistols that come fully equipped in a sleek, light, and ergonomic package. EEA's lineup also includes the MC312 series of 12-gauge shotguns for hunting, sporting, tactical, or personal defense. Plus, there's a limited lifetime warranty on every series available today from EAA. EAA says skip the big names, get the quality and the features you deserve, and let them earn your respect. Visit EAAcorp.com to learn more and order online or through your local dealer.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
And by the grace of God, it is finally Friday. Special guest, someone we've only had on the show once, but she's fantastic. Sam Sorbo. She is a very involved mom. She's written a book called Words for Warriors, the host of School's Out, the host of the Sam Sorbo Show. Talks about parents pulling their kids out of state-run schools because, you know, all of the nonsense, all of the, hey, you know, I sent Susie off to school this morning, you know, and she came back and she's calling herself Johnny. So, and she wants to have the, you know, the skin on her arm made into a penis and sewn onto her private parts and her breasts removed before puberty. Nothing to see. Other than that, everything's perfectly fine. Send her back to the same school. So she's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour. We got some terrible news for Joe Biden. All-time record lows, not temperatures. No, no, no. They're really high because, you know, it's a heat wave. It's summer and it happens. But as far as approval ratings. But John Kerry, by the way, pushing climate change. Turns out he flies around in his private jet a whole lot.
My name is John Kerry. Do as I say, not as I do. I tell you to conserve as I dump loads of CO2.
Jim Gossett.
300 metric tons from my private jet.
I never been in one.
Stuff that I tell you to do, somehow I forget, because I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah.
I'm a hypocrite. I fly around, 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 around. I push fake climate change. Yeah, I'm a real disgrace. Everyone I meet says, hey there, Lurch, why the long face? My name is John Kerry, and I'm the climate czar.
Yes.
I pollute the planet and tell you to sell your car.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you a lot of grief for using energy.
Uh-huh.
I have a double standard, different rules for me.
Because
I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite. I fly around, around, yeah, around, around, around.
And, of course, we're in the middle of a heat wave, which the country has not seen since 1986.
What?
Yeah, and the hottest temperature on record was 1913, and in 1936 it was 121 degrees in North Dakota. And this whole climate change thing that was global warming, that was global cooling, it's all nonsense. We learned that yesterday. If you want to listen to the podcast, you should just go to the Newsmax TV /podcasts, and you'll hear it, because it's nonsense, and you're being played like you were with COVID. I don't know if you knew this, but the president last year at this time said, if you get the vaccine, you will not get COVID. So he got it twice and two boosters, and he has COVID. And everybody's saying that Donald Trump, when he got COVID, was very irresponsible. You remember he walked up to the top of the stairs and he took his mask off. Well, Joe Biden actually went to Massachusetts. He went over to Saudi Arabia, into Israel, didn't wear a mask, and handshakes, the whole deal, comes back here, goes to sniff a little girl, can't smell anything, realizes, oh, my God, I may have lost my sense of smell and taste. Obviously, Jill lost her sense of taste a long time ago. I mean, my God, look at that dress. But she's perfectly fine. So there's always a double standard. You know, there's always a double standard. It's crazy. You know? Yesterday, Lee Zeldin on stage in New York. Guy gets up on stage, says, you're done, you're done. Whips out what is appears to be a shiv. And I don't believe that any Democrats are calling for comprehensive shiv safety control this morning. I could be wrong. But I don't think they are doing some sort of a knee-jerk reaction. But the weapon used in the Lee Zeldin attack, now this is misleading, a $10 plastic cat keychain. That's what they're saying. Which would make you go, oh, what? Of course he'd only got attempted assault. I mean, come on. No, it turns out this is actually meant to have on your keychain as a weapon. It's the My Kitty plastic self-defense keychain weapon. Pointed ears make this keychain tool perfect for self-defense. You know, only a leftist would look at something and go, ooh, hey, this looks really dangerous. On the label, it says pointed cat ears make this keychain tool perfect for self-defense. So, yeah, that's what it may be. Kind of like that little thing of bear mace that women carry on their keychain, you know, that kind of thing. Or just a gun, I guess. You know, a gun probably worked better. Conceal carry. This guy didn't. He chose to go with the My Kitty Shiv. And again, it looks like Democrats are not calling for comprehensive Shiv safety control this morning. Let's go to Donna in lovely Severna Park, Maryland on this Friday. Hello there, Donna. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm golden.
I just wanted to discuss the climate green extremist idea on air conditioning, which they're trying to get rid of. They would like you to have passive cooling. If you can look that up online, you'll find that you have to retrofit your entire living environment to have passive cooling.
Yeah.
Yet, all of the health departments are telling you to stay inside and use air conditioning to stay cool.
Well, Donna, they did make some adjustments with regard to the coolant used in air conditioning a few years ago, and I can understand that. And oddly enough, there has been one climate thing that was actually kind of real, and that was a hole in the ozone layer, and they got rid of chlorofluorocarbons. Were you there for that? Do you remember that? They got rid of chlorofluorocarbons.
Throw out my air conditioner. They wouldn't replace it with the same. They had to replace it with an entirely new system.
Well, now what they're trying to do is not only get you to replace your entire system, which most people can't afford, especially right now, plus also you might be waiting a year to get your new air conditioning system, but they're also pushing you to turn up your thermostat so it's uncomfortable, like my wife did the other day when she set the thermostat at 78 and went to work. It got a little hot in the studio there, Donna.
yes. As I say, they're telling you one thing, but that you know,
I know
warming, and then the opposite is you have to use air conditioning. Yet they don't want you to use the right kind. I mean,
yeah. And Donna, they also say that the sea levels are going to rise, and Barack Obama bought two seafront properties worth about between $20 and $30 million right on the beach. Isn't that funny? It's like they didn't even believe it. Oh, yeah, they don't. Kind of like they did with COVID. Same thing. They did the same damn thing with COVID. You live by a different standard. Nancy Pelosi says shut down all the hairstylists in the state of California. I don't care if they go out of business. She makes sure hers is open. Same goes with Beetlejuice, the mayor of Chicago. Same thing. Had to have her hair done. You know why? Because she's a public figure. And John Kerry flying in private jets, and Gavin Newsom eating at the French Laundry when all California restaurants were shut down. Are you beginning to see a pattern here of double standards?
Yes.
Just a little.
Awful.
Just a little. All right, thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Andrew in North Chesterfield, Virginia. Hello there, Andrew. What's going on, my friend? Oh, he dropped off. Never mind. Oh, here's Biden Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, who does no idea what she's talking about at all. Never had anything to do with energy and the environment at all. Kind of like Pete Buttigieg, transportation secretary. The only reason he's transportation secretary, of course, political payback. The fact that he's also a gay man who's married with children. You know, checked a couple boxes there. He is white. That's a negative. But he rode a train in college, I guess. Here's Jennifer Granholm saying the clean energy transition can't progress fast enough. As you suffer, can't afford to fill your car with gas, can't afford groceries.
Right now, we are witnessing the beginning of one of the most significant events in human history, the clean energy transition.
That is unnecessary and unwarranted.
It is long overdue, and it can't progress fast enough.
Okay, and Joe Biden can't leave office fast enough. I'll just throw that in there as well. Dear Lord. So, Real Clear Politics, average job approval for Joe Biden, 36.8%. The bottom is falling out of his presidency. Biden's disapproval rating averaged about 60%, all-time high. Slow Joe is underwater by a whopping 20.7%. This is worse than Brussels sprouts with three-year-olds. I mean, it's that bad. He's actually less popular than Brussels sprouts are to three-year-olds. So on the same day in Trump's presidency, Trump was at 43%. Biden's at 37%. And Donald Trump was being pummeled in every way, shape, and form by the media. And his wife was being pummeled in every way, shape, and form by the media. And everything he did was wrong, but he still managed to get a 43% approval rating. Yeah, kind of weird that way. Quinnipiac says a 33% approve of Biden, 59% disapprove. NPR-PBS. Listen to this. NPR-PBS. This is as left as it gets. These are the people that say they don't take advertising dollars, and yet everything they do is started with a commercial. 36% approval rating on NPR-PBS, which means it's probably half of that. And then a Reuters Ipsos poll, 36% approval. 36% approval is what they're saying with regard to Joe Biden. In other words, people get it. People see he's awful, and they are turning on him. And they're already planning, I believe, for his exit from the White House, not only in 2024, but before that. I could be wrong. I don't think I am. And then all of these economists, I don't like these all economists, everybody in the media last year, including Joe Biden and all the media, said that this was going to be transitory. Janet Yellen said it was going to be transitory. All of this inflation would be transitory. And now lefty economist Paul Krugman on MSNBC yesterday apologized and basically said, yeah, despite the fact that I'm a Ivy League economist, but I'm left leaning and I always cheer on Democrats, even though I know their policies will fail. I really didn't see this and I was wrong.
Listen, what did you think?
That's Mika Brzezinski.
What did you think you got wrong?
Well, partly it's that there's stuff that I didn't, you know, that nobody saw coming. Nobody saw Putin invading Ukraine. I think nobody.
Yeah, gas prices started going up at least a dollar before that. It was even a thought.
Really thought about logistics, supply chains.
Right? Yeah, there was a giant COVID bailout, the government spending that decreases the value of the currency, floods the market, cheapens the dollar, causes inflation. Same thing happened during Jimmy Carter's administration. I think Paul Krugman would have been about, I don't know, 50 then.
Any of that stuff until suddenly they became a big problem. But part of it is that we did, in fact,
is because you're a political tool,
end up with what is clearly an overheated economy. And the effect of that overheating on inflation was bigger.
Government spending.
Than his past experience would have led us to believe. So,
and right now we are back where we were in about 1979-ish with interest rates doubling this year.
It's always dangerous to extrapolate from the past. And in this case, it really I thought it was possible that we'd overheat. I didn't think, given.
I actually I don't have an economics degree or anything. And I said this is going to happen because it's happened before.
The historical relationship that it would lead to this much inflation. But the really important thing, I had another article this week.
Well, yes.
About, you know, where do we go from here? The big question is not.
Hell in a handbasket.
Did we overshoot? Did we overheat? But how bad is that? Is it going to be a really difficult problem getting inflation back down?
Wait a minute. He doesn't even know it's a big problem right now. So he missed it last year, and he doesn't know it's a problem this year. Unbelievable. Where do we get such people? Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
If you live in this country and aren't down with freedom of speech, maybe you should move down to Cuba. It's the Rob Carson Show.
And that really comes down to the question of whether high inflation has gotten entrenched in people's expectations. Do people, you know, is it like...
As Paul Krugman, I think that it is, we're expecting it's not going to go down anytime soon, right?
The end of the 1970s, when everybody expected 10% inflation, as far as the eye could see, when corporations were giving 10% wage increases, figuring, well, I won't have any problem passing that on to consumers because everybody else will be doing this.
Yeah, but see, the prices are already high. So there you go, kids. What have I been saying for a while? Welcome back, Carter, right? Yeah, welcome back, Carter. Oh, January 6th hearing. I want to share a little bit of what happened last night that nobody watched. Don't worry, I'm not going to play any audio from these morons, but I do have some interesting stories that came out. Like, for instance, you know that story that the 25-year-old who was 23 said that Donald Trump tried to wrest control of the steering wheel of the beast from a well-armed killing machine Secret Service agent? Well, apparently not so much. He just issued a verbal, I guess, warning or something. Yeah. So we'll get into that here in just a second. Let's go to Bob in Westminster, Maryland. Hello there, Bob. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's going on, man?
Hi. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah.
By way of introduction, I am what they call a certified ASC master technician.
Okay, yeah.
I know a little bit about an automobile.
You bet.
And what I can tell you, the hypocrisy just reeks on this ethanol. First off, it does not reduce pollution on any automobile that was produced after 1981, because we went with feedback loop control systems.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's a net energy loss to make the ethanol. You have to plant the grain.
Yeah.
You have to make a mash of it.
Yeah.
You then have to distill it. And in order to get the fermentation going, unless you're far south, you have to have some heat to keep the yeast alive.
Of course. Of course.
Then after you make this stuff, you put it in the gasoline.
Yeah.
And in the process, you're using up all the corn.
Yeah.
The poorest people in the world rely upon this corn to eat.
Oh, yeah. And I hear there's things called like tortillas and stuff made out of corn.
Are they breakfast tacos, perhaps?
I think they might be breakfast tacos. They might be breakfast Hispanics. Now, I get what you mean, and Joe Biden wants to increase the chemical makeup. They want 15% alcohol instead of 10.
Well, let's go to that.
Okay? Well, real quick, Bob, go ahead.
I know. Wait, there's more, like Ron Field.
Yes.
Here's what happens when you get above 15% and above. That's your 88 octane. That stuff starts attacking the resins in the fiberglass underground storage tanks that they made us all put in there, and then you start getting leaks into the groundwater.
Yeah. Well, also, Bob, and let's get back here. As far as ethanol is concerned, also, if you look like the E85, which is 85% alcohol, it costs less because it's subsidized. And by the way, it is much, much less efficient. You're going to get much worse mileage. So it's all together. It's a joke. It was originally brought around. The ethanol blend was brought around because they wanted to conserve fuel because they didn't think there was enough oil in the ground and we were going to run out and all this. So it all is falderal, to be quite honest. We'd be much better off right now considering supply chains and fertilizer shortages and all that to devote it to feeding cattle and feeding human beings. I got to run. Let's go to Buster in Santa Cruz. Hello there, Buster. Welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Rob? Long time no talk.
Yes, sir.
You know, as far as the global warming and everything, one of the big contributors, I believe, are these big semi trucks. They don't shut these suckers down. They park them and they're running for hours. I think we got to take a whole different approach.
Yeah.
As far as... Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Continue what you're saying.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I keep thinking when Henry Ford set up the assembly line, all that, I don't think he had a clue what he was creating because... I'm in an extreme case. I'm heavily congested, and they took a beautiful section of Santa Cruz and turned it into this I don't know, Portuguese-style industrial section. I don't mean to insult Portuguese or anything. And, you know, I got trucks going up and down the street all day long. It's just, I don't see these companies helping anything. You know, that's what I'm saying is...
Well, Buster, I don't know if you do you remember the 1970s when places like Santa Cruz and L.A. used to have these gigantic days where smog would shut down the city? Do you remember that? Do you remember New York City being shut down by smog and London being shut down by smog?
Hell yeah, I went down to
L.A. Well, don't you think things have gotten better, Buster? Things have gotten better?
No. It looks like it. Somehow they made it look like it.
Okay, well, let me, real quick, 30 seconds, what's your solution?
We got to figure out if we can go, we can send to Mars, we can go to Mars, we can figure out how to build something better than that damn diesel engine. That's like so backwards.
Well, no, it's not actually, Buster, but I do appreciate your phone call. Right now, the only energy available that is powerful enough to power things like giant ships, including container ships, including tractor trailers, including tractors, including dump trucks, is diesel fuel. That's the way it works. It explodes at a much more powerful rate in the cylinders, and consequently, large vehicles need it. So right now, Buster, despite the fact that you're near a freeway, which maybe you might consider moving, that's what we have. And by the way, nobody is choking on smog like they used to. You do have red days in places like D.C. because of the heat inversion and all that stuff. But right now, diesel is the way to go, and it is for the very near future and maybe even the distant future. Let's take a break. We have got Sam Sorbo coming up next. Don't go anywhere. All right, we're trying to get a hold of Sam Sorbo. I'm not sure exactly what the problem is. Probably the heat wave, probably global warming, climate change. The whole world's collapsing. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Her Skype's not working. Whatever, anyway, I do want to mention real quick, Buster called, and I appreciate Buster calling. And, yeah, you know, it does kind of suck when you pull up behind a tractor trailer or a diesel car and you get a little whiff of the diesel there, you know. But, you know, that's the way of the world right now, and it's not contributing to climate change. It isn't. Nonsense. If this were really as devastating to the climate, if the internal combustion engine were so devastating to the climate, then why the hell do the biggest climate advocates live in beachfront properties and fly in private jets? Give me a frickin' break. I said the same thing about COVID. I said, if you think that COVID is such a deadly virus that schools and businesses need to be shut down and that kids need to be sequestered and they have to go to remote learning and all of this stuff and have their lives destroyed, and then you should be wearing a hazmat suit wherever you go. You should be setting an example because you know how deadly this is. But Democrats never took it seriously in public. They went to the French Laundry. They went to hairdressers. They went without masks. They showed hypocrisy left and right. Do you know why? Because they wanted you to live by those rules, because they can control you. The same thing is going on with this climate change nonsense. And I already mentioned that in 1936, it was 121 degrees in Fargo, North Dakota. And we had a heat wave of the hottest temperature ever recorded in 1913, all before SUVs. The internal combustion engine has been a miracle from God. It has revolutionized the world. Did you realize the first, if not one of the first cars invented before the turn of the last century, 1900, were electric? Same technology. And with electric, they haven't really been able to make it, well, they've been able to make it a little more efficient. But it's still not practical at all. At all. Because you can't make a battery big enough to power a cruise ship. And you can't make a battery big enough to power a tank, which weighs about 60 tons. And you can't build a battery big enough for a tractor. And diesel fuel and the internal combustion engine is a miracle. You'd be living in a shack if it weren't for the internal combustion engine. You would have to travel, if you're going to travel from, let's say, D.C. to L.A. today without the internal combustion engine, you'd leave in March and arrive 3 months later in California with half of your party dying of dysentery. So, nonsense. I say nonsense. Absolutely ridiculous. Let's go to Homer in Rising Sun, Maryland. Hello there, Homer, and welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's up, buddy?
Hey, listen, I'm 75 years old and lived in Maryland all my life. And every time I hear this craziness about the climate change and all, when I was a kid, we used to get two hurricanes a year here in Maryland.
Yeah.
We could get, not always, but we could get. And summers were hot as hell. And the only time in the summer we got 100-degree summer, the only time it broke was when we had a lightning storm.
Yeah.
And then we got some rain and the break.
Yeah.
And as far as the one thing I noticed we haven't had lately here in Maryland is fog. When I was a kid, we had a lot of fog around. But now I don't see any fog at all. So, and the biggest thing in our life that changes weather is the friggin' sun.
Let me
ask the Democrats, how are you going to fix the sun, idiots?
Well, do you know, Homer, they're considering they wanted to create these space bubbles orbiting Earth that will deflect some of the... It's stupid, because they're saying they could create a bubble that is the size of, like, the state of Maine. It's the stupid stuff you used to see in magazines like Popular Mechanics that never come true. It's just... It's stupid. I mean, honestly.
And his day wanted to put a mirror in space so that he could use it to burn up the countries of attack in Germany. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but, you know, that's how evil people think. You know, it's like Dr. Evil all over again. All right, thanks for the call, dude. Thank you, Homer.
The one thing I remember, that as a kid I used to love the fog because I used to pretend I was invisible. I go out and get in the fog. Nobody can see me now. I'm invisible.
Yeah. Yeah, just don't do that on the interstate. Not a good idea. All right, Homer, thanks for the call. You know, I've lived in the in Tornado Alley my entire life. Most of it. I mean, I lived in Washington, D.C. for a dozen years, lived in Cincinnati, lived in Minneapolis, lived in, where the hell else did I live? Springfield. I mean, hell on earth. I mean, Illinois. Sorry, I always get those messed up because, you know, whatever. Anyway, then Springfield, Missouri, and I've lived in Kansas for 6 years, and there aren't any tornadoes right now. I mean, this tornado season, last tornado season, the tornado season before, nothing. Really nothing. And then somebody calls me, oh, yeah, because it's moved. Tornado Alley has moved east. It's in Ohio now. Oh, really? Well, there aren't any tornadoes there either. And every time they predict that there's going to be, oh, there's going to be no hurricanes, they're going to be bigger and better, then we have a 10-year or 15-year break from hurricanes. Do you remember Hurricane Andrew? Hurricane Andrew, 1992-ish, gigantic. Sustained winds like 180 miles an hour. Then they had Superstorm Sandy, which was a fart in the wind compared to Hurricane Andrew. Honestly. It's just, don't you get tired of people? Every time they preach fear about vaccine, fear about, you know, this, fear about that. Everything is fear. If you don't do this, you're going to get that. If you don't have Roe v. Wade for everybody in the country, then women are going to die. They're going to have coat hanger abortions in alleys and all the... And I don't believe since Roe v. Wade has been repealed that there have been a dearth of thousands of women being found in alleys dying of abortions with coat hangers. I could be wrong. Maybe it's just not being reported. Or maybe it's just that people, women who need to have abortions or want to have abortions, they go to a place they can have it. Or maybe in most stations where they've outlawed abortions, if it involves the health of the mother or incest or rape, that there are laws already there to facilitate an early end to the pregnancy. But don't tell that to AOC because she's laying down in traffic and putting invisible handcuffs on. It's really unbelievable. Unbelievable. I want to share a personal note here. When I was in high school, I lived in Southwest Iowa, Neola, Iowa, and still waiting for the statue to be erected. And I would listen to the radio in Omaha, Nebraska. And I would listen to a different radio station, Z92 with Otis and Diver. It was a great radio market. And then when I didn't listen to that, I'd listen to the big, powerful AMs, the clear channel stations around the country, like WLS in Chicago, where you'd hear great radio personalities like Jonathan Brandmeier. And, you know, go on and on and on about that. And so when I was in high school, I always dreamed of being a DJ. And I played in music radio for a number of years before I decided I was too old to give a crap about Lady Gaga when I was in my 40s. But this hit home for me because Pat Benatar, who's famous for one song, really. I mean, she did a bunch of songs. Don't get me wrong. Nothing against Pat Benatar. What was her big hit? Her big hit was Hit Me With Your Best Shot. Remember that? Hit me with your best shot. And I remember when that song came out. I think it was 15, 16 years old. And I freaking love that song. And every year in Omaha, Nebraska, at a radio station called Sweet 98. It's called Sweet 98. It was a top 40 station. And Sweet 98 was the station you listened to if you were a teenager, other than Z92, which is the classic rock station. And so Sweet 98, every year they did a contest. It was called Supermouth. And it was the original American Idol. And what they do, it was a dream. This was when music radio was magic, unlike now, where it's largely, you know, a music machine, and it's largely automated with DJs recorded outside of town. I hate to bust your bubble, but yeah, most of the time. Usually just the morning shows live and possibly piped in from another city, but most other day parts are piped in from another city by a guy who voice tracks it. Sorry to burst your bubble. Oh yeah, they don't play requests either. Thought you should know that as well. That said, hit me with your best shot. Supermouth contest, what you'd get is you'd get, I remember you got a, and this is 1982, so big money, they would pay you $18,000 a year. That was your salary for 1 year, and you would become Supermouth if you won the contest to be the best DJ. And you'd also get a custom Supermouth Firebird. And instead of the eagle on the hood, they had a big Supermouth logo. And so you'd drive around a Firebird, you'd get $18,000 a year, which was gigantic money from a kid, for a kid making $335 working at Four Sons Truck Stop in Neola, Iowa. And then you'd also get like a $2,000 or maybe a $5,000 wardrobe from Jeans West, where I used to put clothes on layaway. Faux leather pants with zippers and thin leather ties. Oh, my God, in heaven, the 80s were fantastic. So I got a call from Sweet 98, and they said, Rob, yeah? I should have said, yeah, who's this? Yeah, this is Sweet 98, Buzz Jenkins or something or other. We gotta let you audition for Supermouth. I said, oh my God, where's the studio? He goes, no, we're going to do it on the phone. Oh, I can audition for Supermouth on the phone. Okay. All right, here's what we need to do. We need you, you're going to be introducing Pat Benatar. Hit me with your best shot. And what you want to do is you want me to say Sweet 98 sometime there, but this is your audition for Supermouth. And this was a big deal. I remember it was, I think it might have been my freshman year. And I went to school, and I recorded my audition for Supermouth over the phone with the jock at Sweet 98. And I went to my high school where that night they were having, it was either my sophomore musical where I played Sir Evelyn and Anything Goes, or my freshman year it was Oklahoma, and I was playing a bit part, a farmer named Chalmers. And I told everybody there, as we were getting ready for the play, I'm going to be on Supermouth. Listen to Sweet 98. And we all listened to Sweet 98, and my audition came on. I'll give you a hint what it sounded like, because this was what music jocks do. It's called hitting the post. All right, what you do is you talk up the lyrics of the song, or the intro of the song, then you hit the lyrics. All right, so let's see if I'm good at this. So here we go. This is Rob Carson. I am 16 years old. I live in Neola, Iowa, and my dream is to be on Supermouth more than anything I wanted in my entire life, and I can't imagine how great it would be. So without further ado, here's Pat Benatar.
You're a real tough cookie with a long history.
That's called hitting the post. Generally, what you do is you'd go. And here's Pat Benatar on Sweet 98, Omaha's number one hit radio station.
You're a real tough cookie with a long history. Yeah.
They call me the Postmaster General. That's why. Well, the reason why I bring this up is because Pat Benatar is not going to be doing the show in concert anymore. Because she said, I'm sorry, in deference to the victims of the families of these mass shootings, I'm not singing Hit Me With Your Best Shot anymore. She says, I tell them, if you want to hear the song, go home and listen to it. The song is tongue-in-cheek, but you have to draw a line. I can't say those words out loud with a smile on my face. I just can't. I'm not going to go on a stage and soapbox. I go to my legislators, but that's my small contribution to protesting. She continued, I'm not going to sing it tough. Pat Benatar has about three songs that people really remember. Hit Me With Your Best Shot is one of them, and she usually reserves it toward the end of the show because that's what people stay for. Not a good idea. This is not a good idea. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the... I'll give you a little inside peek at music radio and that song as far as me, why it meant a lot. I hope it means something to you. Anyway, kind of interesting. Let's take a break. We've got much coming, including Dave Chappelle getting the last laugh after being canceled in Minneapolis. That's coming up. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Say it loud and proud. Let's go, Brandon. It's the Rob Carson Show.
You know, nothing against Pat Benatar, but honestly, you play the hits, right? You play the hits. That's what you do. If you're going to be on stage, you play the hits. There are a lot of people who have one-hit wonders out there, you know. What if Bon Jovi's, well, they've got more hits, but what if they said, we're not going to do You Give Love a Bad Name? Yeah, we're not going to do it. And that's not a good idea. Where are all the white people going to be if they can't raise their Budweisers in the air, their Bush Lights, and sing that song? Pat Benatar is not going to play Hit Me With Your Best Shot because of school shootings, I guess, is what the deal is. And that's just a shame. Let's move on to Scott in Kingsville, Maryland, wants to talk about the January 6th show trial, which was last night, which was a big meh. Hello there, Scott. Welcome to the show. What's going on, my friend? What's happening?
Yes. We know that January 6th committee is there because of love of country. I mean, there's just no doubt about that.
Of course.
And they're really looking into the integrity here. Yes. And I'm sure they're going to bring out a bombshell soon. I mean, a real ripping, roaring bombshell of one of their number one people who love this country, and that's AOC. And she'll probably testify the day it happened, what is on tape, that they were outside her door, they were wanting to bash the door in, she was hiding in a closet, they were going to rape her. I mean, yep. I'm sure they're going to bring out this bombshell person of integrity because they're all there because they love this country so much. So I'm just waiting any day they're going to bring her up and show the world how much integrity they have.
Now, Scott, the thing is also, you may recall, I played at least a week ago, going on 2 weeks ago, that AOC said that after that goofball comedian went after her on Capitol Hill, said, hey, nice booty and all that. And she said, I can't believe the Capitol Police didn't do anything about it. And then she went into two different times online, said that the Capitol Police facilitated the entry of the insurgents into the Capitol on January 6th. Did you hear that?
But, Rob, she was in a whole other building, and she stated they were outside her door.
I know.
She had to hide in the closet. She wasn't even in the same building.
Yes, but also, she said that Capitol Police were a part of it. Oddly enough, she's not been called to testify, by the way.
She wouldn't know anything. She was in another. She's in another state, virtually. I mean, a whole other building. How does she know anything?
Well, she doesn't. But thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Sam. Sam on the Eastern Shore of Maryland wants to talk about Pat Benatar. Hello, my friend. What's up?
Yeah. If Pat Benatar doesn't want to sing that song, it should be because it's about a girl telling her boyfriend or her husband to punch her, and she'll get right back up again.
That's essentially, what the song was about. Hit me with your best shot.
So in vain, I get right back on my feet again.
That sounds kind of like an abusive relationship to me.
But, you know, and the Rolling Stones have stopped singing Brown Sugar. And Brown Sugar is really a celebration that blacks were brought here as slaves, but now they're in the boardrooms and they have equality and they have lives. They're not slaves anymore, although a lot of the football players and all say they're slaves. Making $30 million a year, but other than that.
Exactly. All right, Sam, thanks for the call, man. Do appreciate it. Yeah, it's remarkable. Everybody's a victim. You know what? We live in a country where we have the First Amendment. It gives you the right to offend and be offended. And honestly, I'm so done with butthurt, snowflakes who can't handle being offended. Try offending the government in North Korea. You'll go to jail for your life, and if you have a child in jail in North Korea, that child will be sentenced for life to prison, and that child's progeny will be sentenced to life in prison. All right? So here's the deal. If you don't want to see Dave Chappelle, then don't freaking see Dave Chappelle. And if you don't want to hear Hit Me With Your Best Shot, then by God, don't go see Pat Benatar. But if you don't hear the song, what's the point? Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show. All right, so coming up next hour, we are going to get to the Dave Chappelle. They're going to be, you'll hear some of the fans of Dave Chappelle outside of the venue last night. There is this venue in Minneapolis, a legendary venue for performers. In fact, it was actually featured in Prince's Purple Rain. I don't know if you knew about this, but First Avenue is legendary, and it was a gigantic, gigantic music venue for Prince and the Revolution and the Time. All of it was shot there. I lived in Minneapolis and did morning radio for a number of years, saw a number of acts there. And that First Avenue had booked Dave Chappelle, and they had 1,500 people who had purchased tickets. The tickets started at $129, bringing in nearly $200,000 worth of ticket sales. And at the last hour, they canceled it because 125 woke idiots said they were offended by it. Chances are it's Minneapolis. They were white liberals canceling a black man's show because of him speaking. All right, we'll get to details on that. We'll hear from some of the wokies who were wanting him boycotted coming up after the top of the hour. Last hour of the show right ahead. Don't go anywhere. Hey, guys, it's Carson. Have you guys signed up for Stamps.com yet? Well, time is money, and you don't want to waste time or money with repeated trips to the post office. Stamps.com, you could skip the trip. Focus on how to take your small business to the next level. Stamps.com lets you print official postage right now from your computer, saves you money on the process. So you spend less time at the post office and more time making your customers happy. Stamps.com gives you access to all post office and UPS shipping services you might need from your computer and get discounts you won't find anywhere else. All you need is a computer, standard printer, no special supplies or equipment. Stop overpaying for shipping with Stamps.com. Sign up with the promo code Newsmax at Stamps.com for a special offer that includes a four-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code Newsmax for Stamps.com.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
And once again, by the grace of God, it is finally Friday. What are you doing this weekend? I've got a honey-do list a mile long. Hey, you know, I don't mind. Although it is supposed to be 103 degrees here in the Kansas side of Kansas City, which has happened before. It's not that the world is ending. It's not God, as Bruce Almighty in the movie Jim Carrey said, God's sitting there and you're like on an anthill and he's got the microscope pointed at you and he's just only one part of the world is hot. Because God is targeting Europe and the Midwest, I guess. And always targets the West. It's like you're always surprised when they got wildfires in California. Oh, my God, it's never happened before. No, it happens every damn year. And it's getting worse because Californians are idiots. Well, not all of them. Just the people in power. And they fail to clear out brush because, you know what, they want little squirrels or whatever to live there. And it might upset their mating habitat or whatever. So they leave the underbrush there. And then it ends up catching everything on fire. It's kind of the way it happens. So much to get to this hour. A wealthy neighborhood in Minneapolis is crowdfunding to pay for police because, they defunded police in Minneapolis because of Black Lives Matter and all that. And now people are suffering. So we'll get to that. Another story out of Minneapolis. Dave Chappelle was going to take the stage at First Avenue, which is a famous venue in downtown Minneapolis. I have been a few times, and of course, it was made famous by Prince and the Revolution. 1984? Purple Rain? By the way, I thought the time was better. Am I the only person who thought Jungle Love was better? I thought it was really good. There's something about the time. They took some cues from, both performers, Prince and then Morris Day, they took cues from James Brown. I mean, but the time did the whole deal where they had like Jerome would come out and Morris would get a little tired. He'd start to walk off stage. He'd walk off stage and Jerome would, put a jacket around him and then he'd go, no, throw it off. And he'd walk back on stage. I'm going to fight through this just like James Brown used to do. Yeah. Awesome. So, First Avenue decided that because they got 125 people who signed a complaint that David Chappelle was transphobic, a bunch of most probably Gen Z types who, these are the progeny of the class of 1968. These are the kids who were told on campus, originally that everything is racist. And then when that started to fail as far as it resonating with people, instead of calling people racist, they called them white supremacists. And then they said that words are weapons. And then, things like what happened at the University of Missouri, Black Lives Matter decided to set up a safe zone and the chancellor of the university, the president of the university stepped down because they're idiots and all they needed to do is tell these children who are doing this, you are in no position to demand anything. Netflix just did the same thing. There were a bunch of transgender activists who were upset. They were butthurt because Dave Chappelle talked about transgender people in his special. And by the way, he celebrated one transgender individual. He actually invited this transgender individual on stage to open for him for 45 minutes and corresponded with this individual, born a man, lived life as a woman, and literally Dave Chappelle embraced this person, wanted to know more, invited this person on stage. This person had been acknowledged numerous times on stage with Dave Chappelle. And that person killed herself. Do you know why? Bullying from the trans community. Bullying from the LGBTQ community for being corresponding and being involved with Dave Chappelle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the woke crowd, the LGBTQIA+, and it goes on into affinity, by the way, like pi. It's like LGBTQIA+14573 5TQXGYX. Just keeps going on into infinity. And so does their being offended. So what did Dave Chappelle do when First Avenue offered a groveling apology? And by the way, I think First Avenue really cooked their goose. I really, really do, even in Minneapolis. Who the hell doesn't want to see Dave Chappelle at First Avenue? Dear God, they screwed the pooch. I mean, majorly. Majorly. But, of course, they offered a groveling apology. We can't believe that we had Dave Chappelle. He's so transphobic. Oh, by the way, the group that did this, Minnesota Uprising, describes itself as amplifying voices from occupied indigenous lands. Shut up. Dear God. Dear God. On its change.org petition against Chappelle's shows, the group complained Dave Chappelle has a record of being dangerous to trans people. And First Avenue has a duty to protect the community. Oh, shut your mouth. Dear Lord. Well, here's some Chappelle fans outside First Avenue before the show that moved down to the Varsity talking about Dave Chappelle.
Cancel culture has taken too big a position in our society. I think that if we're not going to be divided, if we are going to be unified, we should be able to say what we want when we want. Especially,
I hate to tell you this, but Dave Chappelle goes after conservatives, and I think he's funny as hell.
It's not mean-spirited, and I don't believe that his work is. I think that labels tend to oversimplify situations.
Oh, shut your mouth. You mean like somebody making it into a bumper sticker?
I guess if...
Which the left has been doing for decades.
If I were an advocate of trans rights or something, I hope I wouldn't resort to that kind of labeling and simplification.
A lot of people taking a lot of things out of context for their gain.
For the political agenda, they can't handle criticism. And by the way, one of the greatest gifts you could ever get would be have your community targeted by Dave Chappelle in a humorous fashion. It means you're relevant enough that he gives a crap. I know.
If I really got to meet Dave Chappelle, I probably wouldn't be surprised that he's most likely caring of a lot of people. So I think he's a good guy. People just go through the lenses and they pick what they want.
And they can't handle words. Because this is the same sort of nonsense that we went through with all of the things that became verboten in 2020 and beyond. Can't say anything about the COVID vaccine. Can't say a damn thing about the 2020 election. Can't say a damn thing about Hunter Biden's laptop. It's not real. Oh, yeah, it was. Can't say a thing about the fact that Donald Trump never colluded with Russia. It would have been a nonsense for him to collaborate to get elected because Russia had no interest at all in having Donald Trump as a president, as a defense hawk and an economy hawk and America First candidate. They had every reason to want Hillary Clinton to be the president. But this is that same mindset. Oh, well, what you're saying is disinformation and misinformation, so it has to be shut down. So we have to create a government board called the Disinformation Board, just like Joseph Stalin did in 1923. That's the same thing, because you can't handle the opposing idea, because the other idea, the opposing ideas, are right. Here's one of the idiots who were interviewed saying the reason, and they were literally, he's wearing a book. He's wearing a shirt that says support black trans lives. Okay. Hit a millennial or probably Gen Z protesting Dave Chappelle's show. Listen carefully.
Last night I heard that they're having a performance out here, and I heard that there's a performer who said some transphobic things.
Okay. Now, he doesn't know who's performing. He's standing literally in front of a sign that says, a marquee that says, Dave Chappelle sold out. And he's like, I heard there was somebody here who's very anti-trans and they wanted to come down.
And we,
whenever somebody talks up, chances are they're lying or they're morons.
Me, I don't talk.
See, Jen Psaki.
Are they homophobic or transphobic, anything? And if there are like people in theaters performing and who are transphobic people, you are like, that's white supremacy.
That's okay, hold on. Wait. This is fantastic. So if you're sitting and you're watching Dave Chappelle, you are not only a homophobic, you support white supremacy. Now, somebody better tell him, hey, buddy, you know that anti-trans performer that all the white supremacists went to see? He's a black guy.
You would let anyone in there, but you are giving your money to people who don't need it or don't deserve it.
Don't deserve it.
What this establishment is doing? They are giving the money to.
And then there's signs there that trans rights are human rights. And then there's a woman dressed in a fairy costume. Could be a guy, I don't know.
People who don't need it or who are very bad people.
Bad people.
I'll quit my job.
Well, some people said they were going to quit at First Avenue, and they did.
Because I would not want to work someone who has transphobic hate in this place, because what these people are doing is not okay. And for me, I wasn't here last night, but when I heard about it, I came after work and came out here because I'm an activist. Human rights, trans rights are human rights.
Is this Joe Biden like maybe a long lost relative?
Don't tolerate hate in Minneapolis, and Minneapolis does not tolerate.
Yeah, you know what? Minneapolis doesn't tolerate intelligence either, apparently, because they do stupid crap like saying that the police should be disbanded. A wealthy Minneapolis neighborhood has started crowdfunding to pay for extra police patrols. This is a neighborhood called Lowry Hill. I'm not sure where this is. We used to live south Minneapolis near Lake of the Isles. By the way, Minneapolis used to be an awesome town. I would never freaking live there ever, ever, ever again after the summer of 2020. Here's what they were saying a couple years ago about defunding the police.
Minneapolis, we're here because now is the time to dismantle MPD.
Our commitment is to end our city's toxic relationship with the Minneapolis Police Department.
We should and can abolish our current Minneapolis police system.
This council is going to dismantle this police department.
Okay, so they did that. And the police said, you know, honestly, I don't need this crap. So I'm just going to go ahead and take my retirement, or I'm going to do something else for a living. And it looks like crimes like murders and carjackings have gone up about 35%. And Minneapolis is a living hell. And where I lived, when I was 29 years old, Uptown, most of it burned down. It was insufferable then. I mean, Uptown was insufferable in the 90s. I mean, everything smelled like patchouli and pot smoke, more like patchouli, actually. And it was really insufferable place. There were some cool areas if you didn't have to, you know, talk to some of the residents. But anyway, Minneapolis is using the funds to pay cops. Are you ready for this? Minneapolis residents are raising, they want to raise $210,000 for extra police patrols. They're going to pay cops $107 an hour to watch their community. I should have become a police officer. The crowdfunding effort comes as Minneapolis reported an overall 18.5% rise in crime. And officials claim the initiative will help police target crime trends and hotspots. So there you go. Another leftist face plant. I mean, who could have imagined? Who could have imagined that defunding the police after your city burns down would be a good idea? Oh, yeah. Anybody with common sense. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Sleepy Joe. Joe Biden's been asleep for years.
This has to be a wake-up call and shine a bright spotlight on anything like this behavior anywhere.
It's The Rob Carson Show.
Make sure to check out the podcast, will ya? It's called The Rob Carson Show Podcast. And what we're doing now is we're taking the whole show and we are putting it online and we're editing it for content. So it's a shorter version. It's about 2 hours. And we had a lot of people who asked for it because they wanted to hear more than just the 35, 40 minutes that we were offering. So if you get the chance today, would you do me a big favor and just subscribe to it? Because not only do we have the content of the show, we got all the comedy bits that me and Jim Gossett and others do, Sean Farish and whatnot, our Trump impersonator, and then also the great interviews that we have on the show. And we're getting more and more names on the show. And we're asking questions that maybe nobody else has asked. Cash Patel, we had him on. Last week, it's fantastic. He was on last night. It was on Gutfeld's show. So, and my show, by the way, I have a TV show on Newsmax. It's called Rob Carson's What in the World? Donald Trump thinks it's the funniest thing on television. And if you want to go to NewsmaxTV.com, you can just look up the listings. It's on Saturday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, Sunday at 2 o'clock Eastern, Monday morning early. That's when the president, former president, and future president Donald Trump watches it. So just at NewsmaxTV.com for TV, NewsmaxTV.com/podcast for the podcast. Oh, my God, is this a surprise or what? Hunter Biden's marriage to filmmaker Melissa Cohen is on the rocks. I know. I'm as surprised as you are. And we're not talking about rock cocaine. Apparently that she's frustrated because of the lockdown is what, not because he's a crack addicted whoremonger, but because of the lockdown. They never go anywhere because they've been instructed to stay out of sight and away from cameras while the investigation into Hunter continues. Added to the pressure, the Secret Service lives in a much larger mansion next to them. Lives in a much larger mansion? Really? And they watch over Hunter like hawks. Hunter Hawk. Wasn't that a movie with Bruce Willis in it? Anyway, it's extremely frustrating for both of them. What was that? Was it Hunter Hawk? No, it wasn't Hunter Hawk. Anyway, it was a Bruce Willis movie. I'll think of it in a second. You people are screaming at the radio. No, Hudson Hawk. It was Hudson Hawk. Brain Google. I just did it. Brain Google. You should try it. Joe Biden can't do that. All the files have been deleted. Hunter, 52, and Melissa, 35. Nice work if you can get it. And their baby, Bo, have been mostly confined to their $20,000 a month three-bedroom rented home. $20,000 a month three-bedroom home. Wow. Are you getting scrod? Thank God for all that Chinese money coming in. Oh, my goodness. So, meanwhile, the Secret Service is splurging $30,000 a month to rent a much bigger luxury mansion overlooking the Hunter Biden place. they are staying in the Spanish-style Sea View Villa with six bedrooms, a pool, tasting room, gym, spa, and even a tower. There you go. The couple, and I can't believe this hasn't worked out. I mean, really, honestly, I mean, if you see some of the video that had been released by, you know, Hunter Biden doing two prostitutes at the same time and weighing out the crack that he has there, smoking the crack, and he's sitting there in the hot tub or whatever the hell it was at the rehab facility, smoking crack and drinking a White Claw. I'm surprised it's not working out. The couple married in a surprise ceremony in 2019, just days after meeting one another. and welcomed their son in 2020. So not working out. I know I'm as shocked as you are. I'm just as shocked as you are. So you know what I think? I think we should talk. I think we should go with show trial. Should we go with show trial? Should we go with gender confusion? You know what? I think that we'll go with last night's show trial. That's a good idea. The January 6th hearing could be the last one.
There's no trial like a show trial, like no trial that I know.
Because once again, it was a big fail.
Everything about it is deceiving.
It's a joke.
The January 6th committee lies. A bunch of crap that no one is believing. The tales they're weaving, nobody buys.
This is Jim Gossett.
There's no people but Joe's people. People who'd fall for this lame show.
Hey, Joe's got COVID.
Adam Schiff's a liar who's been caught before. Kim Zinger is a major bore. Liz Cheney won't be in the Congress anymore. Cause this trial is for show.
Big finish.
Yes, this trial is a show.
Maybe they should call it Jovid. I don't know. So the January 6th committee hearing was last night, and I hope that Donald Trump sues the networks for equal time. That's what he has to do. That's what we have to do. This is a campaign ad for Democrats, and there is no cross-examination. But last night we found out that the tale of Cassidy Hutchinson, that sounded weird, but the story that she told about Donald Trump trying to grab the wheel from the trained killing machine Secret Service agent who was driving the limousine and turn it back to the Capitol. Turns out it was just a heated exchange. Turns out that she plagiarized, or then didn't plagiarize. She perjured herself. Joe Biden plagiarizes. Turns out that he was just irate. The two Secret Service agents she named, Tony Ornato and Bob Engel, said that that never happened. And then also Benny Thompson, we'll just call him Uncle Benny. The chairman of the committee opened proceedings by addressing the hearing remotely, saying that he was diagnosed with COVID-19. Was he with Joe Biden? Was he? Well, he says that Donald Trump let it happen for 187 minutes. Just let it happen. To which I said, well, why didn't he keep it going like they did in the summer of 2020? Why did he stop at 187 minutes if he was happy with it being destroyed? He also said that armed and violent mob beat police officers and killed them. That never happened. Yeah, only Ashley Babbitt died that day, and a police officer died of natural causes the next day. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show. Last half hour of the show, right ahead. By the way, I'm going to be on Newsmax today on the Chris Salcedo Show. You can watch it today, 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about a variety of issues. And I believe I'm on a panel with Sam Sorbo. We were supposed to have him around this morning. For some reason, we're having some technical difficulties getting a hold of her. Probably global warming or something, or climate change or something. Whatever, anyway. So, yeah, Chris Salcedo Show, NewsmaxTV.com for listings. If you have... we stream on Hulu and all sorts of places. If you have DirecTV, it's channel 349. So real quick here, a couple notes about China and how they're our enemy. I thought you should know. China's military has deployed armored tanks to the streets of the Henan province in recent days to block protesters from gathering outside local banks and demanding access to millions of dollars in deposits, unceremoniously frozen in April. So the federal government, the Communist Party, owns all of the banks in China. And if they want to take away your money, all they have to do is shut you down. So the government owns your means of buying groceries and living. Okay? And people are really angry because they haven't been able to get their money. And there's no, you know, George Bailey saying, here, there's $2,000 for my honeymoon here. What do you need there? What do you need there? $100. Oh, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. I need $300. Well, you can just take $100. No, I need $300. Okay, all right, that's fine. I just want $1. Oh, you're the best. Anyway, no George Bailey over there. Now, George Bailey would come out of the bank and say, put the gun right to your head and say, you got a problem with what we're saying about you not getting your money? You know, I'm actually cool. I'm just totally cool. Totally, totally cool. Well, they tried the same thing here. I don't know if you do this. They wanted to do that here. You're thinking, what, in the 1920s, 1930s? Yeah. No, this year. Yeah. You may recall that a radical communist who actually went to university in China, Saul Amarova, she was nominated to be the comptroller of the currency. Yeah, remember that? She described herself as a radical. Here's what she said. Here's what she said. Pat Toomey, Republican from Pennsylvania, reminds us. She said she wanted to effectively end banking as we know it. In the People's Ledger, a paper she published a month before that, she outlined her plan for nationalizing retail banking. Under her plan, central bank accounts fully replace rather than uneasily coexist with private bank deposits, meaning the government runs everything. The government has control over your money. Isn't it amazing what the government can do if they decide to set their mind to it? Like shut down your business or your church or your barbecue. Or force you to get a vaccine, or force you to have a vaccine passport. It's kind of crazy that way, right? Imagine if they took their money away, your money away. That's it. There's no escaping that. You're begging for change on a street corner. That's what this person wanted. Yeah. In other words, you couldn't have an account with your local community bank. Your money would be held by the government up at the Federal Reserve. Countless Americans were outraged over recent Democrat plans for the IRS to get their personal banking information. Remember that? They wanted that. Professor Amarova also had a proposal to control the money supply through these individual Fed accounts, including, when necessary, implementing a contractionary monetary policy by debiting. For those who are not accountants, that means the government can just take money out of your account whenever it wants. Wow. According to the People's Ledger, Professor Amarova might allow these community banks to continue to exist, but only as franchises for the government if they qualify for a license to operate physical branches and ATMs on the Fed's behalf. Wow. She said of oil and gas and coal companies, she said at a social wealth seminar, she said publicly of these energy businesses, we want them to go bankrupt if we want to tackle climate change. How does that get involved with the banking industry, controlling what you drive, what you eat, what kind of fuel you burn, what kind of car you drive? Shut down the economy, make us energy dependent with no alternatives. I can go on and on. This is the class of 1968. And if you graduated in 1968, it doesn't mean you. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. For all of the people around 1968 who were college academics and going to school, and they started this nonsense, this new Marxism, and now we're seeing their progeny try to take over the world and the country, and it's doing a face plant. Mortgage applications plunged to a 22-year low as interest rates have doubled. Yeah, have you tried to buy a home lately? We got in 3 years ago. We got lucky for the first time. We got scrawled the last bubble when we lived in Washington, D.C. Oh, my God, did we get screwed. So, sales have dropped 14% from a year ago. Because of high prices, the median home price is 416 Gs. And a 30-year interest rate about 6%, roughly double the recent low seen in January. Because this is how the Fed responds. It's their one-trick ponies. It's the only thing they have in their arsenal when it comes to out-of-control spending after the government Fs up and makes the currency cheapened and blows up the money supply and spends on crap. This happens every time. Welcome back, Carter. Oh, and this is kind of interesting. You know who's buying the houses? I talked to a real estate agent the other day, And my wife works for a realty company. We don't talk business. She doesn't talk about talk radio. I don't talk about business and real estate and all that. She doesn't sell. She's more an accounting. She's panicked about the future. She is. She's worried about it. She's like, what? You know, she turned our thermostat to 78 degrees because our electric bill last month went from $230 last year to $433. And filling up her car went from $34 when Donald Trump was president to $94. So even she's panicked. You know who's buying the houses? The only people who can pay cash. Large companies and the government of China. Large companies, conglomerates that buy houses in neighborhoods, maybe in your little cul-de-sac neighborhood. And then they rent. Then they rent them out. Yeah. Yeah. They want to kill the American dream of home ownership. That's part of it. You know, I just referred to all the things that the Marxists want to do. The next thing is home ownership. Chinese buyers spent more than $6 billion on U.S. properties between April 2021 and 22. Yeah. Most popular places to buy homes, California and Florida. The Chinese also buying farmland adjacent to U.S. military bases. Kind of strange that way. That shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen. Foreign investments went up 8.5% compared to the previous 12 months. So you're being driven out of the market because you can't afford $400,000 cash. But there are some people who can. And they can buy the properties and rent them out and sell them out at a great profit. And you'll have to rent it from them. I've had to rent homes. Most recently, we moved to Kansas City after the housing market imploded in Washington, D.C. And we had to rent for like 4 years. And it was awful. It was awful. Because there is pride in ownership. And what happens when you don't own something? Well, a lot of the times, if you don't own it, you don't take care of it. Would you rather have somebody next to you owning a home, trying to invest in that home, making that home for their family, mowing the yard, making sure everything looks good, making home improvements, or somebody renting with a half a dozen other people? Don't give a rat's behind about the appearance of the house. Don't give a rat's behind about the grass. I experienced that when I was in D.C. When you could buy a house. This was in 2004 when we bought and the bubble was gigantic. And you literally in Washington, D.C., if you wanted a duplex, it was $400,000. If you wanted a single family, north of D.C., where I live, Germantown, $500, $485, $500, $600. So what would happen is that somebody would buy the home and rent the home, and literally you'd have down the street, and nothing against, you know, let's just say illegals. 20 people living down the street in a house, illegals. Crash in there. They don't care how they sleep, where they sleep. So what's right now in places like Cape Cod, where the illegals are going to get yard work done, they're sleeping on mattresses in the woods. It's pretty remarkable. But that's the next step. Yeah. I'm trying to think what else I've got here. Yeah, I think we can do a little. I want to share this. Earlier, I shared Chappelle, and it was interesting because I've kind of said that it's going to take Generation X to change the world, and I say that because all of us are in together, and I don't want to necessarily just say that it's Gen X, and I don't want to disparage all members of Gen Z or all millennials or all boomers or whatever, because, you know, every generation has its foibles. Every generation has its commonalities. For instance, Generation X, we were the last analog generation. We were the last generation to not have cell phones. Every time we went, we were the last generation to be sunburned, to have skin knees, to not wear, to be able to stay out of the house until the evening hours until mom yelled to come and get you home. We were the last generation to, you know, if boys had bikes, they were generally, they were Huffy Thunder Roads, which were the off-roader. They were cruisers, and those were generally Schwinn Stingrays, and the girls rode Schwinn Lil Chicks. And the Lil Chicks, you know, had the little tassels on the handlebars and the whole deal, and, you know. And that was Generation X, and I was called a slacker. I remember the early 90s when I was writing for Limbaugh and I was doing radio, and I was working all the time. Call me a slacker, I'd be like, I'm not a slacker. But, you know, same goes with boomers. A lot of people, oh, boomers, oh, they're hippies and all. No, you know, the men that went to Vietnam and fought for America, they were every bit as patriotic as anybody else. And it was only the people on campus who were, you know, spoiled and privileged. And they were the ones who spat on them coming home. But Vietnam veterans, every bit as patriotic as anyone in our history. Every one of them willing to give their lives as much as anyone in our history. And they were maligned by the class of 1968. Again, a metaphor. But Gen X is making its mark. Do you realize we've not had a Gen X president yet? We haven't. We've not had a Gen X president yet. And Gen X is now in its late 40s, early 50s, and even mid 50s, like me. Well, one of the ways that Gen X is making a mark is comedy. And there's some great Gen X comedians who have been doing comedy since the early 90s. You know, you got David Spade, Chris Farley, Dave Chappelle, genius, and Bill Burr, who's one of the funniest people in the world. He's a lefty, by the way. Well, he's painted a target on himself. Dave Chappelle did it by talking about transgendered people. Dave Chappelle did it on abortion, and he's a lefty. But he pointed out that abortion actually kills a baby, and now he's got a target on his back. Listen to this.
Now he's just like, it's your body. Who the f*** am I to tell you what to do with your body? So that always made sense, all right? However, I still think you're killing a baby. See?
That's why. Oh, did you hear the crowd?
It gets weird. Like, I sit on the fence and the whole thing makes sense to me. Whatever anybody's saying, like, don't tell you what to do. It's my body, my choice. That's right, man. She's right. Leave me the hell alone. Why are you killing a baby? Well, I mean, there is that.
Oh, there is that.
I mean, you know, if we're going to be honest, that is the whole purpose of the procedure. You know, you're not going in there because you got an earache. You're going in there because you're like, I got a baby in me. Get the f*** out of here. Right? You walk in with a baby. You come out without one. What happened to the baby? Right? So, it's not a baby yet. That's what they say, which may or may not be true. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But I'll tell you, my gut tells me that doesn't make sense.
Wow, imagine that. Imagine that. Way to go, Gen X. Way to go, Bill Burr. Even some liberals like him can have some common sense. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
The SS Titanic is going down, and there's no room on the door for Democrats. It's The Rob Carson Show.
Now it's just like, it's your body. Who the f*** am I to tell you what to do with your body? So that always made sense, all right? However, I still think you're killing a baby. See? That's where it gets weird. Like, I sit on the fence and the whole thing makes sense to me. Whatever anybody's saying, like, don't tell you what to do. It's my body, my choice. That's right, man. She's right. Leave me the hell alone. Why are you killing a baby? Well, I mean, there is that.
That is fantastic. That's Bill Burr. That is Bill Burr. And listen, you know, Bill Burr, I watched his, his latest stand-up. And I, you know, I watch it because I like Bill Burr. And he goes after conservatives. He just, you know, and it's offensive to me. Oh, shut up! Yeah, it's offensive. Awesome. I love it. Hell yeah. He can do it. Oh, my God, it's such a glorious gift. It's a glorious gift to live in a country where words can offend and you could offend people without going to jail. I've been talking about this forever. Dear God, we live in the freest country in the world, or at least it was. And one of the reasons being was the First Amendment. And the Second Amendment protect us so we could have the First Amendment. And protect us from enemies within and outside our country. God, the First Amendment opened up everything. Everything. Changed the world. Magna Carta, Schmagna Carta. I mean, it was pretty amazing. Nothing compared to the Bill of Rights. Declaration of Independence. You can't quote the Declaration of Independence if you're a politician without being investigated by the FBI. I'm not kidding. It's happened several times. The Declaration of Independence, where they talk about basically throwing off a government it becomes over when it becomes overly totalitarian. That's what it was there for. Explain why they decided to rebel against the crown, and then they create a new government where you can actually speak freely and you could arm yourself with weapons of war. That's what the Second Amendment was for. We weren't freeing ourselves from turkeys or deer or targets. Yeah. Oh, this is pretty funny. You know, I was talking about the freedom of speech, and it's still under assault. Don't get me wrong. if you're a conservative on Facebook, if you're a conservative on Twitter, if you're a conservative on YouTube, you're going to get flagged. Today, I just reposted a guy in a T-shirt. Has the T-shirt on the back. It says, roses are red. Kamala's not black. Well, she's part Indian, you see. Joe has dementia and Hunter's on crack. It's a great T-shirt. I love the T-shirt. It's fantastic. I wish I had a T-shirt line. I've got a T-shirt line with such great hits as Hillary in 20 never and veganism is an eating disorder. And by the way, this shirt that I put, guy in a shirt. Roses are red. Kamala's not black. Joe has dementia and Hunter's on crack. It's a parody. It's parody. All right. And essentially everything's true on it. Kamala Harris is a black woman, but she's also an Indian woman. I don't know if you knew this, but our previous president, Barack Obama, was a black man and a white man. And Joe has dementia. Well, do I need to explain that? Hunter's on crack. Dear God. And yet, Facebook said this morning, partly false information. They didn't explain it. Partly false information. The same information was checked in another post by independent fact checkers, who were all left-leaning, by the way. It says here, descendants of Jamaicans are black Americans under census guidelines, and Harris was in second integrated class. Okay, that's great, but her mother was Indian. So it wasn't partly false. You're partly false. Facebook is partly false by not acknowledging that she's only half black. I'm not saying she's not half black. I'm just saying she's half Indian. But that's Facebook. That's it. The same people who want to restrict your speech, the same people who say you can't say anything about the election of 2020, you can't say anything against COVID vaccination, even though Joe Biden got vaccinated twice, boosted twice, still got COVID, and they want you to take the stupid vaccine. There's no point now at all. If an 82 or an 80-year-old man can get COVID after double vaccination and double boosting, he only did it because he's an 80-year-old man. Chances are you probably don't need a vaccine. You make that decision on your own. I'm just saying. Let's take a break, come back, and wrap things up. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show. Okay, guys, time for me to go. If you get a chance to, I'm going to be on Chris Salcedo's show on Newsmax today at 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central, NewsmaxTV.com or channel 349 on DirecTV. Check out the podcast as well, the Rob Carson Show podcast, NewsmaxTV.com/podcast. Have a glorious weekend. You guys are the best. God bless you. God bless the unborn. And until Monday, whatever you do, don't catch the stupid. I'll see you then. Follow me on social media. Bye.
Stay connected.